he studying? He's upstairs. I saw him. If he's coming, don't bother him. He saw me. So if he's coming, he's coming. If not, not. Okay. Let's see. That's another 10 seconds. Okay, I will see if the outsiders can get here. It's a problem of weather, and older people are discouraged when it rains. The youth can handle it, but old age already makes it a little bit harder. Today is Sunday, March 9th, 2014. And once again, I say hello to my students in front of me and to all those listening across the wide expanse of the Torah civilization. A comment on current events, just to answer questions I got, and again, without time to go into detail, but I think a little witticism says it all. Today in New York, they're demonstrating against the draft. The half of Satmar will be there, the Rav Ara Lapad, I'm told, a good part of the Lakewood and the Litvishi Yeshivat. Vaskeitzen in Lebanon, I don't know, because no one is drafting them. Even though Pialacha, I don't know what the heter is for any able-bodied 18-year-old Jewish male across the face of the earth not to volunteer, not to show up at the IDF recruitment offices. It's a Mohammed mitzvah, a chovar, and every Jew who is in good health to serve. But okay, let others deal with the problem. But I just want to comment, that's today. And tomorrow we'll be saying Bracha Ozei Yisrael B'gvura with so much happiness. And so we're waiting, Asher, we're waiting for you to record. Everyone already gave me five excuses why you're not here. And Morty, I'm happy you came. They wanted to go look for you. I said, no, you saw me, and if you're coming, you're coming. If not, I didn't want to embarrass you. Thank God I have some students that have guts. Tomorrow we'll be saying Ozei Yisrael B'gvura B'shem V'malchut B'kavod B'hadar. The they're taking apart. They're taking apart 150 boxes down in a lot, taking out the ammunition and everything that was captured. So you can draw your own conclusions. Now. Dealing here with the whole problem of the Erev and the enmity and all that it engendered, I have to tell you, a Talmud sent me a press release from I think it's 3 years ago. I actually knew about this, but since it was sent to me, I'll mention it in class, although it's very frightening. In Williamsburg, there was a hit-and-run accident, and a Hasidic Jew was killed. And right afterwards, posters went up that why was he killed? Because he's a Mechalel Shabbos. He's Somach on the Erev. So you see how deep the feelings go, that Ad Kedei Kach, people can put up what's called a Paskvila and declare this person a Mechalel Shabbos, and that's why he was high of skila, that's why he was killed, because there was Somach on the Erev. On the other hand, I want to tell you, another student of mine who listens, who's a graduate of the Kollel, went and spoke with a Talmud Chacham, who's a relative of Rav Moshe, and quoted me that Rav Moshe stood in awe of Rav Aaron Cutler as well, and he quotes Rav Aaron three different times, etc. And this relative of Rav Moshe, it's not too smart to ask a relative an opinion, but that's a different story. But he says, no, I thought it was Rav Aaron. Rav Moshe knew it was this, felt it was a Reshut HaRabim deal right then, he was the Gadol HaDor, etc., etc. So I want to make clear, we all understand Rav Moshe's opinion. Chas v'chalila, Rav Moshe Asid, he felt it was Reshut HaRabim deal right. He felt you needed doors. He felt that Tzuret HaPetach was not enough. You needed fences. Absolutely. But the intensity of the conflict, and we'll see that later today and next week, or in 2 weeks from today, I should say. Next week we'll be drunk practically at this time. It's Purim, for Shushan Purim, next Sunday night. So the intensity of the conflict, in my opinion, would have been a lot less. But Reb Moshe not only felt very strongly about his own opinion, but the fact that Reb Aaron Cutler agreed with him plays a big role in my humble opinion. So in no way do I want to take away from Reb Moshe and tell you he was influenced by Reb Aaron. Absolutely not. But I would say this much, that you're not going to find Reb Moshe saying about the Erev in Brooklyn that if you wish, be samachan at the Rabbanim who put it up, the attitude he took in the letter to Rabbi Leo Young. And even that attitude he later revised, because as we see, time and again he quoted Reb Aaron. Okay, but let's come back to what we did last week and let's build upon it. And I'll show you something interesting, an interesting email that came in as a follow-up to how we ended this year last week. There's no question that certain Gedolei Yisrael gain a premier status. We don't have to go any further in history. You look at the Rambam, you look at the Shulchan Aruch, you look at the Ben Ish Chaya from the Iraqi community, the Ben Ish Chaya of Yosef Chaim Baghdadi. And I showed you that Rav Ovadia took issue with him. Until today, there are people, despite the fact that 800,000 people came to Rav Ovadia's funeral, I think it's the largest funeral in the history of the Jewish people. You can correct me if I'm wrong, all right? I don't know. Moshe Rabbeinu, was there a funeral? I don't think so. They went out of their way not to do a funeral, not to let you know where he's buried. You know what Chazal say? Because there would have been Aveda Zara. They would have worshipped the place where he's buried. You see today with Hasidic Rebbeim, I'm not certain that all the Litvish Rashi Yeshiva are happy about the pilgrimages back to the Ukraine. Now they're not going to be able to get into the Ukraine so easily. But back to the Ukraine, back to White Russia, back to Poland, people spend heavy money going to fall lehishtatef. Or lehishtachvat, whatever word we have to use on the Kvarim of Tzaddiki Elyon in their opinion. All I can tell you is the Gaon never went to the cemetery, and if you're familiar with the Ish Halacha, the Rav talks about his family's tradition, how they ever went to a cemetery. He followed that tradition until Yitzchak, I'm well aware of it, but I'm saying he followed that tradition until tremendous tragedy overtook him. Yeah. And people said to the Rebbe, you never visited the cemeteries. Here he went every Friday to his wife's grave. And he said, what can I do? What can I do? That's what I'm told. In other words, his attitude, his answer was, I'm only immortal, I'm only immortal. But in theory, we don't have that feeling. All right, Gedolei Gedolei Olam, but Rav Ovadia took issue. Can we take issue? Can't we take issue? Well, if we can't take issue, the Iraqi Jews, of course, felt Rabbi Yosef Chaim was their posek achron. But if we can't take issue, the whole concept of Torah Shabbat Peh comes to an end. What is Torah Shabbat Peh? We all have machloket, we all have issues, and you'll see, and we constantly speak and talk. All right, ultimately there is a crystallization, but even when there is a crystallization, you see, when it comes to Kitniyot on Pesach, we have two different traditions, they're alive and kicking. On Shabbos, Kashrut, you can find many differences, halacha lemaisa. I notice in Machne Yehuda, these candies that to me growing up were glatt treif, and today over Machne Yehuda you find them sold in every last store. So I investigated and I can tell you the cheaper ones, 28 shekel a kilo, are under the Beis Din of London, I believe it is. They have kosher gelatin in them. The ones that have the Manchester Heksha that sell for 35 shekel a kilo, they have fish gelatin in them. They don't have kosher gelatin. There's a big difference. You follow? So there, right in Machne Yehuda, it stares you in the face. differences lahalacha that we live with each other. There's no crystallization. You can have a machloket. We have two different hechsherim. Cholav v'stam cholav. Yes, no. Hashkachat. They warn you. So it's an interesting question. Rav Ovadia was constantly under attack. Who gave him rishut to argue with the Ben Yosef Chai? Rav Yitzchak Nissim never forgave him, and that machloket went on, and I don't want to go further and tell you what I know, because then we get involved in the sinful part of Torah politics as they affect us in our daily life. Now, the same thing happened now with Rav Maisha. And that's where we started off in the middle of the shiur last week, where Rav Menashe Klein in the Sharei Halacha, Choveret Yud Gimel, where he begins a beautiful letter to Rav Simcha Elberg, a very long letter to Rav Simcha Elberg, a very important letter to Rav Simcha Elberg. Who was Rav Simcha Elberg? Rav Simcha Elberg was a survivor. I knew him personally. I taught his nephew. I have a book that he wrote, autographed in person to me by Rav Simcha Elberg. He came to see me. He had no children. And his whole life centered, he and his wife, around their nephews. And he had one nephew who studied with me, who went on to become a very world-famous medical doctor and a big Talmud Chacham, a wonderful individual. And he was my Talmud. And as a matter of fact, his picture appears in Washington, unidentified. He's the kid holding the door for me when I leave Yeshiva University uptown, the main academic center building, for the final time. I gave my last shiur, and I'm going to be going on a boat very shortly to sail to the state of Israel, Baruch Hashem. So he's the kid in that picture. Okay? So Rav Simcha Elberg then became very active in the Agudas HaRabbanim, and he became the editor of Pardes. He bought Pardes. And I want to correct myself. I made a mistake last week, and no one corrected me from around the world. So let me correct myself. I kept on saying that, it was in the Monday class. I kept on saying in the Monday class that when I spoke about Rav Aaron Cutler's funeral, I quoted Rav Pardes in Pardes. That way no one could say, Rakefet is making it up. This way I quoted a right-wing publication, a right-wing, using popular language, Rav, so no one can say I made it up. It wasn't Rav Pardes. He sold Pardes. It was a private venture. It was, are you familiar with Pardes? It may still be coming out. I don't know. It was a monthly magazine of rabbinic chidushei Torah and news from the rabbinic world, and it had advertisements. But by the time of Rav Aaron's funeral, Rav Simcha Elberg owned HaPardes, and I was quoting his editorial in HaPardes. I don't know if Rav Pardes was alive anymore.
There used to be a sitzuchim
with Rav Tites and Rav Simcha Elberg. There were plenty of sitzuchim on many topics, but because Rav Tites was a practicing rabbi, and Rav Simcha Elberg already was not a practicing rabbi, a big Talmud Chacham, and he maledicted Rav Menashe Klein. How dare you contradict Rav Maisha? Who gave you the right to contradict Rav Maisha? And we started this long letter that Rav Menashe Klein wrote. And Rav Menashe Klein says, throughout the ages there has been machloket. What do you mean you can't contradict? Don't we have machloket in the Gemara? Don't we have machloket among the Rishonim? Didn't the Shulchan Aruch himself disregard all the previous Rishonim except three? Isn't the whole Shulchan Aruch based upon two out of three? The Rif, the Rush, the Rambam. No, who gave the Shulchan Aruch permission to disregard the Rashba, to disregard the Ran, to disregard the Gaonim? But this is the ongoing quest of Torah Sheba Alper. And then Rav Menashe HaKotan quotes Rav Moshe at length, going back to the tshuva we quoted 2 weeks ago, where he differs with Reb Moshe on covering the hat with the plastic, a rainy day like today, I'm walking around with a cheap hat. No big deal if it gets wet. But imagine you have a brit today. No, you have a brit. You have a sheva brachas today. You're marrying off, you're getting married today. You're marrying off a child today. You'd be walking around with a shtreimel if you're a chassid, right or wrong. Chalamayid, everyone is walking around with a shtreimel. It's a beautiful sight to see. I saw chassidim who were walking around with shtreimels on Yom Ha'atzma'ut. I saw that with my own eyes. Brave chassidim, let me tell you. Life insurance paid up. That's all I can tell you. I don't know who they were. I saw with my own eyes. No, you want to put a plastic on. Reb Moshe Asid. Reb Menashe Katan apologized. He was a kid then. Remember what I told you. And Reb Moshe told him, Adarabba, you have every right to argue and every right to disagree. There's no such concept of Lo Tanel Harab. It's only when we Omdim Leminyan in the Sanhedrin, and that's why the least learned speak first. Because we don't want them to be influenced by the more learned, by the Nasi, by the Avbeitin. And he calls Reb Moshe at length. And then finally we ended off the Shir, and this is why I want to pick up a very important Mishnah, basic to our understanding. In Ediyot, how much water, that's Mayim Shu'uvin, drawn water, passels a mikveh. Okay, that doesn't yet have Memsa Mayim. And there's some Machloket and Shmaya Va'avtalion, Hillel, Veshamai, and along come Shnei Gardiyim, two weavers from Shahashpat. And Chazal speak about it. Why was this told to us to show us people who are not, don't have such a prominent occupation? They're not surgeons. They're not, I don't know, world-class lawyers. They're weavers. And they're not doing that well. They live at Shahashpat. I don't have to tell you. I live in Rehavya. I was talking with Herbie the other day. Our apartments are worth a fortune. What are our apartments? One room would I have three little closets to sleep in. That's what location, I call them.
Location.
Location. To live at Shahashpat, all right, it's a lot cheaper there. And yet, Chazal tell us, the halacha is like the weavers, not like Shammai Hazakein, not like Hillel Hazakein, like the weavers, because they had a Kabbalah. They could tell us what the previous generation did. And nothing but nothing is more important than a Kabbalah. They saw Shmaya Vavtalion, and they said Eidat Nemanah. Now, this is fascinating. My Talmud, who was just here, Rabbi Dr. Lieutenant Colonel Mark Wiener, sent me an email that we have a very famous family of weavers that Yitz Rubin knows. The Feuersteins. What were they, if not weavers? What was it? Malden Mills was the name of their mill. And they produced, cloth? What was produced there? And they were world-class people, so world-class that you probably remember when the factory burned down, who, I believe the name was Aaron Feuerstein, you can correct me if I'm right, the brother who was the surviving owner, paid his workers out of his pocket. Poor people who needed the money until the factory could be reestablished. And President Bush honored him at the White House as a result, if I have all the facts right. But it's interesting. Here we view weavers. Chazal took the attitude that it's not that important a profession. Here you see weavers, the Feuerstein family. Wow. And let's pick up on this concept of Kabbalah. Nothing is more important. And Reb Menashe HaKatan brings another proof, the story in Pesachim, Daf Samech Vav Amid Aleph, where Pesach fell on Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos. What do you have to do? You have to bring a Korban Pesach. Der Korban Pesach is Dolcha Shabbos. So they asked, Hillel HaZaken, what about if you forgot to bring a knife? What do you do with a knife? And Hillel HaZaken, remember we quoted this Gemara a year ago in a different context, a year or two ago, Hillel HaZaken didn't remember what you do if you forget the knife. So Hillel HaZaken said, Smoch HaBnei Yisrael, Lo Nevihim B'nei Nevihim Heim. The next day, when Shabbos, when the Korbanot were brought, the people who forgot the knife pushed the knife behind the ears of the Korbanot, and they brought the knife to the Beis HaMikdash. And Hillel saw Ra'am Maisa, he saw Ra'am Maisa V'nishka, and he remembered, this is what they did. Halachazu shamati v'shachachti, but let's see what the Jews will do. The macha misha piskol pleh sakin tachav lo b'tzamaro ra'am maaseh v'nizka halacha. What was so important? Hillel could say, this is what they did. This was the maaseh. This was the act. And then they quote the Yerushalmi, Kol Torah she'ein la beit av ein a Torah. What does it mean? Kol Torah she'ein la beit av, a Torah that has no home, no tradition? Yes. What's more important than anything is the ma'aseh, what people did. This is Reb Menashe Katan. And he's going to go on and on. Why is he saying all this? Why is he saying all this? Because all over Europe, all over the world, you'll see, he spells it out, there were a Reuven. This was halacha lema'aseh all over the world. How can you suddenly come along and say there can't be an Erev in Borough Park? Warsaw had an Erev. London had an Erev. Paris had an Erev. Amsterdam had an Erev. Ma pitom, in Borough Park there can't be an Erev. And this will explain something else to you. And very important to understand this. It's crucial to understanding the Rav. The Rav, time and again, I always tell the famous story. The first Yahrzeit Shir, I understood the halacha. I must have been a kid of 14, 15. Eino sin mitzvot, chavilot, chavilot. It's a fabulous Yahrzeit Shir. It's written up in Sherim Zeicha B'Mari. I didn't understand the Agada. It took me a few years till I could start to comprehend what the Rebbe was saying when he spoke Agada. You have to be old, you have to be more mature. Today, in our old age, I think I appreciate the Agada more than the Halacha, but that's a different story. So the Rav went into Haftalah, Kiddush, and the Rav gave a whole brisker analysis why Haftalah has to be sitting, why Kiddush has to be sitting. And a few weeks later, we petitioned the Rav, Rebbe, spend the Shabbos with us in the yeshiva. You have to remember, with the Rav there was a big chisaron. The chisaron was that Yitz Rubin needed him in Boston. So the Rav lived in two worlds. He lived in the world of Boston, and he lived in YU. And for the Talmidim it was very hard, because you had a Rebbe who flew in Tuesday morning and flew back Wednesday afternoon.
Why didn't he move to New York?
It's a different story. Not for now. He was at home in Boston. He was a Brahmin.
But he had to travel.
He had to travel, but he had a yeshiva in Boston. He had family in Boston. He had a life in Boston, and he was happy in Boston. He considered New York a pressure cooker. Every Torah Jew was killing the other Torah Jew. Everyone was putting the other one in Chayram. I don't have to tell you what goes on in New York. The more Torah Jews you have, unfortunately, the more machloket you have. That these boys, that these young men were here this year as Talmidim and they remain B'nai Torah is a miracle. I don't know what would have happened to me to hear Gedolei Yisrael maledicting each other in public, maledicting each other in print, pick up Hamodiah, pick up Hapelis, pick up Yetei Neman. You won't believe what you see with your own eyes. this is Torah? Please. It's not the Torah I was raised on. That's all I can say. But okay, kol hakavod to these students that they know how to siphon out that which is important and leave behind that which is unfortunately disgraceful and not part of the eternal Torah system. So we implored the Rav to spend the Shabbos in New York, and evidently it was good for him to be with his mother here, and he spent the Shabbos. No, we heard the Rav is spending his Shabbos, he's going to speak Famariv, you know, after Shalosh Shiddur's time, he's going to speak in the yeshiva, and everyone within walking distance piled in Shabbos afternoon, all the kids from the Bronx. My daughter just asked me, where's Washington Heights? I said, most people think Washington Heights is the Bronx. It's really Manhattan, but it is very close to the Bronx at that point. So we all piled into the yeshiva. Noon, I still remember, after Mariv, the Gabbai Reis, I made his shidduch, you should know, but Reis married the girl, the Mashkiach came to me, Efshe Hotnin, Zantate Zuchfe Mashiddich, Chob de Chabah, and Chob de Nacha Meidel, Efshe Kentman Das Reden, you know, this is Pasek, and the Mashkiach spoke it over with me, and I said, he's the guy. And lo and behold, they should live and be well. They're married now onto Vase. It has to be onto 57, 58 years. So Reish goes over to Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, Vilach Mechabit Zayin Machen Havdalah. Rebbe, you should make Havdalah for us. Okay, I'll make Havdalah. And they set it up on the table. And as the Rav is sitting down to make Havdalah, 200, 300 students all sit down before the Rav sat down. So the Rav says, Mikilahu Zot Lechem, who told you the secret you have to sit? So everyone said, Rebbe, you just gave the yahrzeit shiur on it. But you see what was happening? In the Rav's mind, you do what your father does. It's like the Talmidim from Hasidisha homes after the Rav drove them crazy that you have to sit even for Vayachulu, it could be. Alright, we stand, it's the Mishnah Brewery, you know, Eidot. But the Rav, it's a Kviyat Suda, you have to be sitting. So a kid would ask the Rav, Rebbe, what should I do? My father comes from Poland, is like Erech Hasid. He stands. My grandparents stand. Do what your father does. That's Kabbalah. That's Maaseh. Ra'am Maaseh v'nishka. He saw what they did and he said this was the Kabbalah. This is what they did. And the Kabbalah, halacha l'maaseh, is more important than all the lumdus in the world. And I can tell you, I'm convinced, I can give you a whole pill pull that if I'm sitting for Kiddush and you want to be Yotzei, you have to sit too. You follow? I give you a whole pill pull. Halacha l'maaseh, I will never open my mouth like that. Why? Because I see from Rebbe that the Kabbalah, this is what his parents did, this is what his father did. Who am I to come along and tell him lumdus and make him change? Same thing with tefillin and chol hamoed. In America, I put on tefillin and chol hamoed. The Rav used to say he was totally convinced you have to put on tefillin and chol hamoed, without a bracha, of course, with a tanai. But he didn't put on. He was totally convinced, but he said, what can I do? My father didn't put on tefillin. My grandfather didn't put on tefillin. When I came in Aliyah, Baruch Hashem, here there's a miracle that when it comes to tefillin and chol hamoed, there's no machlokes whatsoever. It's a miracle. The Hasidim, the Mekubalim, the Sfardim, and Rav Kepin has his own pshat. Because here you feel... See, again, I don't want to go... I've got to get back to Rav Menashe. But what's the shaila of putting tefillin on chol hamoed? You know what the shaila is. It is chol hamoed, does it have intrinsic kedushat hayom with a het of malacha? Then you don't put on tefillin. It has a nice a note. It's like yontef, except you have a bigger het of malacha. Well, no, chol hamoed is really chol. Malacha is muta. But there's a certain kedusha to chol hamoed in the sense that you have musaf, it's like Rosh Chodesh. If that's the case, until you daven musaf, you have to put on tefillin. Maybe you can make a case not for the kriya, you don't have to put on tefillin, but you have to put on tefillin. So that's the essential machlokes. What is the intrinsic concept of chol hamoed? But I always say in Yerushalayim, at least, I don't know, probably B'nai Brak, Efrat, everywhere else, I don't know, chol hamoed, all the stores, if they open, they're open half a day. Everything closes down at midday. The banks close at 12 o'clock. The Hasidim go with their strimals. You feel the Kedushat Hayom. How can you put on tefillin? So here we all agree. But it was interesting. The Rav would say, intellectually, I'm committed. You have to put on tefillin. It's a Suffolk Dioraita. What are we dealing with here? So you make it tonight. But Halacha Lamaisa, mein Tat hat nicht, mein Zeder hat nicht, he couldn't do it. Okay. Now, here Reb Menashe Klein, says something very, very important. And this is the heart of Torah Shabbat Peh, this is the heart. We spent so much time on this two years ago, the Kuntres HaShach. We have another very interesting klal. Halacha kebat ra'i. And you see, what does halacha kebat ra'i mean? This is a total negation of everything we understand about tradition. I don't have to tell you, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the famous story on the plane that I've told you so many times. He's sitting with Yeruchim Meshel, the head of the Histadrut. And I, believe it or not, I don't have to quote to you from Art Scroll or from any sources outside of my own ears and eyes. I was on that plane sitting literally across the aisle from the Yosat Patexi. I was being sent by the Israeli government and I could watch what was going on. And they struck up a conversation in Yiddish, Mamalashin, and they're talking, and Rabbi Yaakov's grandson is standing over him, if the Zaydin needs anything. And Yeruchim Meshel asked Rabbi Yaakov, if you know the story already, I cut me off, but if you don't know it, let me say it. And Rabbi Yeruchim Meshel asked Rabbi Yaakov, who's that young man? And he says, it's my grandson, it's my nanicle. And Yeruchim Meshel looks at him and says, that's your grandson. You have a safama shutefet, he told you. You have a common language. You understand each other. You talk to each other. You honor each other. And he says, my grandchildren don't even talk to me. We're in two different worlds. So Rabbi Yaakov says, well, there's a big difference. You believe in Darwin. And if that's the case, you believe that humans descend from apes. No, who wants to be near a person who's closer to an ape? But we believe in Matan Torah. And my grandchildren want to be closer to a person who's closer to Matan Torah. Now, isn't this correct? Those of you who will hear, I don't know, I was recorded Thursday night, I still can't figure out who's listening. But I was recorded, reach, meets, big deal. And I hear a Peshul Shechta speaks first. I hear him, he's like next door to me, to you. I don't understand that. I'm in Israel, he's in America. I hear him, then I speak, and then Rabbi Penish speaks. I can't believe what's going on. But I have no idea where that recording is because I'm very upset. I would have been much happier had I recorded it in the Kollel with students listening. It was a potent message. And record it and play it. What did you have to do it live and drive me crazy 7:15 at night? Okay.
What was the message?
It's not for now. The message was to be a good rabbi and to have dedication to previous generations. And I made allusion in my talk to the famous Maimon Chazal, and Rishonim Kamalachim Anu Bnei Tmuta, and Rishonim Bnei Tmuta Anu Chamarim Vafilu Locha Chamasha Pinkas Ben Yair. You all know that Gemara, it's a Medrash, they're variations, but we all know, would anyone come along? I want to hear one dummy say, the gross faculty, we have Rebbeim who are bigger than Rav Soloveitchik. No? I want to hear one dummy come along and say, Rav Salamori, Rabbi Yosef Dov Levi was bigger than Reb Chaim. And I want to hear one moron say, and Reb Chaim was bigger than the Gaon of Vilna. I mean, come on. Our whole concept is, as we move further away from Maimed HaSinai, the generations go down. Isn't this true or not? And that was my whole shmuah, is that a Rav's job is to unite the generations. Pletat sofreihem. One, God gave us 2 ears. When I'm teaching now, I'm listening to my Rebbe 60 years ago. And with the other ear, I'm listening to Yosef Mordechai Gachman or Hoffman or whatever name he will go by 60 years from now. And I want to be sure he will be walking on a Torah path. You understand? This is what Smich is about. The right to unite the generations. No? Can I ask a question? With what I have just said, how could the Shach, and I spent weeks on it, a year ago, 2 years ago, Halacha Kabatrayi, all the Rishonim agree to this. The last one counts. Shabbos morning, someone comes over to my shul. Interesting. Guy walks in, we're finishing davening. 6:30 minyan, was about 5 to 8. As I told you, if we're not finished by 8 o'clock, they shoot the chazan. Chazanim don't like to get shot at. So Baruch Hashem, the former head of the Bank of Israel was finishing up davening. Guy comes in, he's looking for a rabbi. Who has rabbis in shuls in Jerusalem? Rabbi. So Nebuch, they point them to me. He thought I'm a rabbi, like a Chinaman is dancing a kazatska. You understand? The poor guy doesn't know he's my hole in the ground. He sees me with a baseball cap, my white Shabbos cap. What was the Shaila? Had a Shaila. He's touring Israel. He's in his sister's apartment. They explained to him that you press a button in the, you know, it's a Frigidaire with a Shabbos patent. You know what I'm talking about? It's made in Israel. I've had one like every fidget I've had since the last 20, 30 years has this patent. I have one now, beautiful and fabulous. You put your switch and it stops everything from working and you have no problem opening the door Shabbos. And it works on a computer chip.
Right, it works on random selection.
Not all random, it works, I'm told, according to the way it works 72 hours before you flip the switch. So that if it went on every hour, it goes on every hour, whatever. But it disconnects the light, disconnects the fan. It's fabulous. And in Israel, this is widely available. Even the imports have to put on a switch because Baruch Hashem, the Haredim are taking over the country, they're taking over the army, they're taking over the economy. No, they're going to get there. And so we have to have enough. It doesn't pay to bring in a Frigidaire that doesn't have a Shabbos switch. So this poor guy played with it, saw how great it was, and then he forgot to set it for Shabbos. Can you open the door? That was the Shaila. So I told him right away that he says to me, Psikresha, the Lonichale. I told him, I don't see any Heta. It's in a Suffolk Isidio writer, and it may even be, well may be an Isidio writer. So I told him, we need a guy, so there's the Kohen, a very respectful Kohen, I don't know how he knows me, but he treats me as if I'm a Baruch Hashem. He says, Kvod Harav, Ani Akachatol, Ani Odeya Foga, Garat Filipiniot. So he takes him, and they weren't awake yet. So he tells him to daven in the shtiblach, and he says, you'll see in the shtiblach, Filipinos and Filipinim come with these people, and you'll get them to take. So I told him that I would be mekil, amir lakum, because it's a devah mitzvah that I have from the Rav, that be the evidence, can be samachan de seifat from. It's a shita, it's not the popular shita, but you have already a shita in Rishonim, it's a din de rabbanon, so there, mishum mitzvah, kibbut onig, the Shabbos, covered the onig, kibbut the onig, and you have to eat in Shabbos, you have to get food out of the Frigidaire, let the guy play with the button. So, in the Shtiblach, he asked there, there is a rabbi, occasionally Rabbi Chadad. He asked Rabbi Chadad, he paskin like, he looks like a rabbi. He paskin like the guy who doesn't look like a rabbi. So, when I went home, I looked into the Shmir Shabbos Gehilchata, and I saw Baruch Hashem, I paskin correctly. If anyone would have a kula, it would be the Shmir Shabbos Gehilchata on a topic like this. There's no kula, and I paskin correctly. I was even a little bit more makil on the Amira La'akum That if he can't signal the Akam, if the Akam doesn't understand, he should show, you know, exactly what to do, because it's mamish, an inyan of Devar Mitzvah. But I want to ask a shayla. You're asking Rakef at a shayla. He has to decide. He has to look up. He has to deal with problems the Chazon Ish dealt with, problems the Rav dealt with. You're asking a shayla. You come up with a shayla and a guna. You come up with a shayla. Study Washington. What, from Washington to Washington. And dummy raised in the Bronx, a stupid Yankee fan. He is mater and a guna. He's dealing with shitat rishayim, shitat gainim. I mean, what's going on here? What does it mean, halacha kabatra ei? Gentlemen, this is so basic to Torah. With all our respect for previous generations. And this is very important. I don't like a rabbi who is arrogant. A rabbi who will say, Rabbi Soloveitchik can give a psak, I can give a psak. Rabbi Soloveitchik lived 50, 60 years ago, he is not relevant today. That's arrogance. It was said to me right here in this office, 1.5 minutes from here, it was said to me. By my own Talmud, okay? That's a desecration of what Yiddishkeit is all about. Al tzaddikim v'al chasidim v'al ziknem chabet Yisrael v'al pleitat sofreihem. That was Mori Rebbe's hesped for Reb Chaim Heller. And he asked, why when you come to Sofrim, which is Chazal's word in the Sefer Sota, Sofrim means the greatest Talmidei Chachamim alive, why do you put an adjective? I'll play Patsa Freyhem. Because in every generation, you have people who want to be tzaddikim, chassidim, they want to be firm and they want to be good, but they will only succeed to na'ai, kolbim lema'aseh, that you have a remnant of the previous generation. So that's on that level. But when it comes to the level of psak halacha, Yiftach bedaro kishmuel bedaro. Ein ledayan ella ma she'enav ro'at. Moshe Watson is a frum guy. He's not yet living in Israel permanently. He's going back to America. He may take a shteller in America. He'll have a shiloh with Yontif Sheni. So he's going to say, I have a shayla with Yontif Sheni. I'm going to go to Reb Moshe Feinstein's grave in Har Menuchot. I'm going to ask Reb Moshe that if the answer is 2 days, knock twice, 1 day, knock once, who the heck wants to go and ask a dummy like Rakefet? That's what Moshe Watson is saying to his partner Sherlock Holmes. And Sherlock Holmes will answer him, you are stupid! Lo nitna Torah l'malachei hasharei. Yiftach bedoro kishmuel bedoro. Ein ledayan elamashin of rot. What I'm saying very quickly, you could fill this in, have endless lectures on it. But this is what he answers. Rav Elberg, what are you yelling at me? What are you telling me? What are you maledicting me? Why do you say that I have no right to speak? Here you see halacha kabatra'i, that the greatest rishonim, shas, poiskim, rashi, tosfat, shulchan aruch, ramah, and yet in every generation we redefine, we re-question, we react, we write shuvat, we bring sources, we give answers, v'halacha kabatra'i. Wow.
What's the best way to translate that?
The law is in accordance with the later authorities. That's the way. Later generations. He is very powerful here. And I have to say, he's very correct. Because if he's incorrect, so why are we studying? Why are they developing lumbus? Take a look at Rav Heschel Schachter. Malei v'gadosh. What gives him the right to open his mouth? What, is he as big as Reb Chaim Eiser? You understand? Then you'll say to Reb Chaim Eiser, who gives you the right to open your mouth? Are you as big as Rabbi Akiva Eger? Reb Moshe already dealt with this in his Sakdama. He calls Reb Moshe. We quoted it last week. Reb Moshe of Sakdama, Torah Chaim, raises this very question. Who gives me the right to open my mouth? And he calls Rabbi Akiva Eger, who asked the same question. But we give the sources, we think it out, we try to apply it, you check, you learn, you agree, you disagree. It's up to you. And this is the Gemara in Chulin that I worked on many years ago in great detail. Makom hinichu lo avotav lihit gader bo. It's a beautiful thought that in every generation there is something left for that generation l'chadesh. And this is a beautiful thought. Now, just to pause for 1 second and put it into contemporary context, considering that right now crowds are gathering in downtown Manhattan to demonstrate against Tzva Haganah LeYisrael, the greatest gift the greatest gift that God, I said that you before you walked in. Vaskate Zem and Lebanon, no one is drafting them, but that's a different story. They should volunteer. Al pi halacha, they have to serve in the army. You show me how any healthy Jewish young man can get out of serving in the army if it's a Mechabit Mitzvah. I don't know. I know the Gemara in Saita, I know the Rambam in Hilchot Malachim, Perek Zion. I don't know. That to me, it's Reform Judaism. You don't like it, Shabbos is too hard, throw it out. Kashrut is too hard, fling it out. Brit Mila, too difficult, fling it out. Serving the army, too demanding, throw it out. No, that's Reform Judaism. Pardon me, my mind works halachically. Torah, Teiridik, I believe in a Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's a living reality for me. I don't understand it. But anyway, bring it down to what's reality. I have to tell you something. The army, we have never had an army in the history of mankind that is as frum as Tzva Haganah LeYisrael. And it's a reflection, of course, of the people who serve in it. Our main source about the army, and I spent years on this many decades ago, Chayalei Beit David Hayu Kotvin Gitin L'Nesheihem. Alright, that's one question in the army. How do you avoid Agunat? I gave lectures for an entire year on what the IDF does to avoid Agunat. It's epic making. It's not for now. But 1,001 shilas. Whoever dreamt about these shilas? No? You have to clean your weapon. What are you allowed to do on Shabbos? What happens if you're caught in an emergency? What happens if there's a terror alert? Your gun was not cleaned before Shabbos. Are you allowed to clean it? What are you allowed to do with the tank? What are you allowed to do when the tank comes back from battle? Who knows if it won't be needed later that day? What are you allowed to do, people, lo aleinu, chalalei, tzva, hinal, Yisrael? You all know the Gemara in Shabbos. David HaMelech is nothing when he's dead. In order to move the body, what do you have to do? Put a challah on top of him to take him out of the sun, right? The Gemara in Shabbos. A living dog is more than a dead David HaMelech. No? What do you do on the battlefield, Shabbos? What, do you let the bodies lie there? You have any idea how many thousands of little questions came up that no one ever dealt with before? You know what we have today? An entire new literature. Hilchot Milchama. It's something unbelievable that is developed and is developing as we speak, as we speak. I would say there are more than 100 different volumes in print that deal with these type of questions. And more come out all the time. And look at Rabbi Yosef Chaim Rimon, 2 volumes, Halacha, Hilchot Tzava, or Halacha Tzava, whatever it's called. You never saw such magnificent volumes. How do you build an area very quickly when you're in a new area? What do you do if there is no area? What can you carry? What can't you carry? What do you do down in Aza? My grandchildren were there, and they were over the border on Shabbos. What can they carry with them? But there was a problem. They were coming in right near the border where religion was. Kibbutz Sa'ad fed them, took care of them. But now they're across the border. I said, Esther Rav Tzvayi, all this has to have answers. How do you set up an area? Excuse me? I understand. But they're very. What about patrols on Shabbos? What about jeeps on Shabbos? What about an area? What about an area like Beit Shan where you haven't had an incident in 4 years? What is pikuach nefesh? How do you judge pikuach nefesh? What about an alert? What about when the alert, when you capture the terrorist, when the reporters are bothering you for a press conference? No, when Dayan, when Aluf Dayan, Uzi Dayan, the nephew of the famous Dayan, was Aluf Pikud HaMerkaz on Shabbos. There was a terrorist incursion. They came across the border. They captured them. And the press demanded a press conference on Shabbos, like used to be. And Aluf Uzi Dayan said, the Pikuach Nefesh is over. The press conference will be 1 hour after Haftarah. Okay? He married a girl in Bar Ilan. He's not only Dati, you hear him speak about family values. He's better than any rabbi. And this is the nephew of forget about the keys. Is in Noch Ergai. I don't want to go into more stories. But you can't, children even worse than the father. And you can't, this is the greatness of my Rebbe and Chabad, they all had the same opinion. We can't give up on any Jewish soul. He met a girl, he was studying for a master, she was studying for a doctorate at Bar Ilan, and it's the greatest thing that happened in his life. He speaks about it. Uzi Dayan, General Uzi Dayan. Kala Kabotlo. You should know that this is Halacha Kabatrayi. Who dealt with this? Who thought about it? Who could understand these problems? But we have to have answers, and you're going to have machloket, and you're going to have shaklavitaya, and you're going to have going back and forth. You see what Rabbi Menashe got? But this is part of the halacha. It doesn't come to a stop. With all our love and respect for the earlier generation, mipi emanu chayim, meimei emanu shotim, but we have to paskin. We're the rabbanim. We're alive today. We're dealing with these problems. I couldn't say to this man on Shabbos, hold on, I'll put a call into Boston and ask to speak to my Rebbe and see what I can answer you. It doesn't work that way. So you see, there's a dialectical tension here. And we have to balance out, on one hand, the pleitat sofreihem, our cover, our love for those who came before us. Our admiration, on the other hand, we have to accept the mantle of leadership, the burden of decision, learning, knowledge. Reb Menashe Klein is very, very powerful. I have to say, he's criticized by Lakewood. We'll see that this week, next week. He's criticized in the Hasidic world, as we saw from that correspondence to me by Tzvi Beagle. And we Hershey Beagle, and Rakefet loves this man. There's something in him that is solid, that is truthful, that is honest, that is apolitical. Kol hakavod lo. Okay. Then he goes further. And this is something too we spoke about at great length. Minhag. The power of the people. I just want to say in parentheses, please no one leave. We have exactly a minion as I look around, and it's very important for the older people here to do us a chesed and enable us to daven and keep out of the bad weather. And some of us can barely walk, so understand our matzav. Gentlemen, minhag becomes so important. Fuk hazi my amma devar. Four times in Shas. The first time is Daf Mem Hey Yom Aleph, right at the top of the page. So much of our life, you know, the Gemara, I don't have to go any further than that Gemara. What bracha do you make on water? And you know, water is very important. You can survive without food, you cannot survive without water. What is it? 80%+ of our body is basically fluid. 95%. 95. Wow. I stand corrected. You were in the business. You should know. Gentlemen, minhag. What bracha do you make on water? Because water is so important, there were people who said you make a bar nefashat. And other people said you make a shahakol. and no one knew what to do. They went out and saw what the Jews who care, remember, it's Jews who care. I lectured on this extensively. I can't repeat it all now. But it's not Jews who are mezalzel in halacha. It's Jews who care. You go out and see what they do. And when it comes to minhag, he quotes the Gemara that we spent so much time on a year and a half ago, the Gemara in Yevamot, that, for instance, a chalitza shoe. If Eliyahu HaNavi will come and say, Ein chaltsin memanel, shomim lo. Ein chaltsin besandel, ein shomim lo. Shekva nahagu ha'am besandel. I mean, that's amazing. For a chalitza shoe, you need a shoe that fits, a shoe that's a shoe, not something that's a light sandal. And these were different types of shoes. And if Eliyahu is going to come and say to the people, you're using the wrong shoe, we will tell them with all due respect to Eliyahu HaNavi, as much as we love you, as much as we revere you, as much as we sang every Saturday night, Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, but Kvan Nahagu Ha'am. Very powerful. What's he referring to? What's he indicating here? All over, we had a riven. Kvan, you follow me, Yosef Mordechai? Kvan nohagu ha'am. And he shows us something else that's very, very important here. We're mamish, we knocked out an open Gemara. Morty, I know you're going to be in business next week. You're not going to be in shir because there's going to be no shir next Sunday, Monday. What's the business? Purim. Shushan Purim. The Maccabees have to perform. No question about it. Right or wrong? Yeah, I have a chagiga. Who else can? What? Hey, I want to ask you a question. Purim. What comes before Purim? No? Tainit Esther. Anit Esther. Tainit Esther. Okay, say it your way. This year, Tainit Esther is Thursday. Okay, it's the yod side of who? It's exactly like when she died, the Rebbetzin, Moriah Rebbe's wife. She died on a Thursday, Tainit Esther, exactly like this year, 67. Tainit Esther, tell me, you're going to go to shul. What are you going to read? What's going to be the kriya on a Tainit? No, Vayachal Moshe, right or wrong? Right or wrong, open up the Gemara in Megillah. What are you supposed to read in the Tainit? Brachot for Klalot. Open Gemara. Nothing to do with Vayechal. And endless sources deal with this. The Rishonim, the Azarua, others. Ein Hachinami. Meikar hadin brachot veklalat, but v'nahagu ha'am vayachal Moshe. They want to hear that God forgives us. They want to hear that the Tainit has not been in vain. And if that's the case, the minhag knocks out an open Gemara. Can you imagine that? Imagine on your bechinah, they're going to ask you a question like that. You'll say, what, am I a neuswaff, a trumpenik? I don't want to mention the name of that other institution already. What's going on? The fight against RCA? No! This is Torah. This is us. This is minhag. Not the minhag of Bengal. Hold on one second. Now, at the end of what are you referring to? The Gemara where it says Brachot v'Klalot. It's the end of Megillah. There's it's right at the end of Megillah. You can look it up in a minute, and it lists out all the leanings for all the holidays. And it says, I don't think he gives. Let me see if he gives the source in the Gemara, and he says the Gemara Mavua, and he just says the Gemara Mavua Likrot the Brachot v'Klalot, but val min hagenu al pisfarim chitzoniyim v'hu kabbalah ki'ilu yatsa bat kol shekorim vayachal.
And if anyone will come along, a giant of Torah, and say, how can you not do the Gemara? How can you not follow the Gemara? Lo mishmalo shekva nahag alma likrot vayachal. Wow. Powerful. Minhag. It's not the Panovitcher Rav's minhag. You know the famous what with the Panovitcher Rav when they came to Rav Shlomo Yosef Kahaneman and they asked him, do you say Hallel in Panovitcher Shiva? He says, Mitun vi Ben Gurion. We do what Ben Gurion does. We don't say Hallel and we don't say Tachnan. You follow me? Doesn't mean the minhag like that, but it means the minhag of the Jews who care. Very powerful. And we build a roof. Then he says something else. And here, I wanna come to what I consider the heart of the problem, and you have to have your pulse on response to the ritual. Reb Moshe was a Litvak. I wanna explain this, because if I don't give this introduction, you'll think that the Menashe HaKatan is very arrogant. Reb Moshe was a Litvak. My Rebbe was a Litvak. The Litvakin, when they paskin, they took a stand and nothing budged them. They didn't go into many achronim. You know, in Reb Moshe, the Chatam Sofer, the Noda Yehuda, the main achronim, but you're not going to see there the Sholem Meshev, you're not going to see there the Avnei Nezer. They took a stand, went back to Shas, and developed it within the context of the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, the Nosei Kalim. But they took a stand. It's like Reb Moshe's relative said. Reb Moshe felt it was Samach Ribo. It's a Rishut HaRab in the Oraita. Period. You look into the classic Sfadik Poskim. To a certain degree, the Ungarische Poskim, the Hungarian Poskim, a world of responsa literature, a world of sources. They didn't just paskin according to their svara, but many times you felt they were putting together snifim. I have this tshuva, I have that tshuva, I have this safek, I have this psak. They were building, it's a different approach. With my Rebbe, with Reb Moshe, many times I feel that it's like a submarine going straight ahead. Doesn't budge, doesn't have to stop. There are not too many things underwater. You go through Rav Ovadia, you think he's on an ocean. 1,000 boats out there. He's dancing around. He's going right, he's going left, he's counting, he's hunting, he's putting together. He's building an edifice. It's a different approach. You take the Ungarish, you take the Minchat Chinuch. The Minchat Yitzchak, excuse me. Minchat Chinuch is a fascinating example altogether of a Galiziana that Reb Chaim brought into the Litvische Welt, because his mind was so fertile, so innovative. Every topic he could take and dialectical tension, fabulous. Rav Babat, Minchat Chinuch. In Borough Park on 13th Avenue, there's a hardware store. The owner's name is Babat. So I once walked in there and I saw the name Babat. I said, "Du bist ein Heinekel?" He looked at me. How do you know? You know, again, they have this concept that if you don't have a long beard and payas and don't dress like a Litvische Rosh Yeshiva, how do you know anything? He was flabbergasted that I knew that he was an Heinekel at the Minchat Chinuch. I said, "The chances are when you name Babat, you are an Heinekel of the Minchat Chinuch." Hardware store. Gentlemen, you see, we have a very interesting concept in halacha. We spoke about it again in great detail a year and a half ago. But Reb Menashe Klein brings it down now. It's in Chosh Mishpat, I believe it's in Siman Chafei. You can check me out. What about if you find the manuscript? You find the manuscript. I just got an email today that I'm cited in a footnote in Rabbi Dr. Moshe Meiselman's new book on Torah and Science. So I took it out of the library. Sure enough, there I am. He cites from a shir I gave here behind this desk, dealing with the Gemara, what the Chachmei Yisrael did. They repasted the Gemara. They put the sugyas together chronologically. Each one had a different shita. How did the Rav feel about that? No, I'll ask a more basic question. What if you find a sefer, a rishon, that you never had before? The Meiri. Who knew of a Meiri until modern times? How are you mitjaches? How do you deal with what this rishon said? And, Rav Meisher and the Rav would take the attitude, fine, they found the rishon, very nice. But if it doesn't fit in with their sfara, they're not going to budge. Rebbe Vajer and the Psak and brought down in the Ramah that if you find a new manuscript that no one knew, you have to re-evaluate your halachic thinking. Could you imagine? But it makes sense. This is Rav Avadja. This is a Hungarian posse. This is someone with sailing around and bunking into ship after ship after ship. All right. A new battleship was discovered. Oh, you have to hit your case. This is not a little swimming vessel. This is not a little fisher boat that the Maggio grew up on in San Francisco. Father would... Family business was going out in fishing boats. This is not a little fishing boat. This is a battleship. This is a rishon. This is a manuscript that the Vatican had and didn't make available. How many manuscripts were confiscated by the Vatican? Alright, I hope by today they're big enough to let everything out. I hope so. I don't know. We had one manuscript. People swore they saw a certain reading of the Rambam, but I say I don't accept anything until I see it in print. If it does exist, make a photograph of it and send it around. Put it on the computer, on a website. But a rishon, imagine you discover. So here Rav Menashe Klein is saying very interestingly, between the lines, that there's a big difference between my approach and Reb Meisher's approach. Reb Meisher takes the approach that 600,000 Rishut HaRabim D'Oraita, exactly what his nephew says, his relative says, what Rakefet says, what Reb Meisher says, what the Baron Cutler said, what the Mishkanot Yaakov said, what the Rav said. But Reb Menashe Klein says so many other Sfarim, so many other Achronim. There is such a great reservoir of literature of Gedolei Yisrael who were Matir Erev even in major cities. No Rishut HaRabim Bizman Hazer. Kamalit. I don't have to go further. Chazon Ish, the Orech HaShulchan, 101 Hasidic poskim following the Bet Ephraim. And he's implying here, I hope it's not going to be said openly, but he says Reb Meisher doesn't deal with these Svarim, but I deal with them. And these are Svarim that no one else has cited. And if Reb Meisher doesn't cite them, then it's like finding a new manuscript. I have found many new manuscripts. I'm relating to many new manuscripts. And this gives me the right to differ with Reb Meisher. So you see, he has written a letter to Rabbi Elberg filled with lamdanut, filled with sources. You can take any of these topics
and develop entire treatises, entire PhD dissertations. Halacha Kabatrai, a new manuscript. The power of Mincha, Kvanacha Guha'am. What it means, Ra'ah Ma'asev in Iska Halakha, Hilu Hazaken. I have a right to stand on my own two feet. I have a right to differ. Reb Moshe himself gave me that right to differ. Reb Moshe himself, over the nylon plastic covering, said to me, you have every right to have a different approach. Why does the Agudas HaRabbanim criticize me? Why do they want to shut me down? Why do, and you remember a week ago how I cited the beginning of this tshuva, Shamati Kol Acharai, what did Menashe HaKatan do? Paraphrasing the way the Ramah began the tshuva, Shamati Kol Acharai, what did Moshe do that he was Masada Kedushin 10 o'clock Saturday, Friday night, when Shabbos began at 4 p.m. You follow? That's the way. Shamati Acharai, Kol Rash Gadol. Wow. Yeah. We spoke about it last week. A famous Ramah. 10 o'clock at night, he was Masada Gadol. But there were reasons why. To save the Kala, the Yatoma, the husband to be finally agreed to what they offered him to marry her. And 10 o'clock at night, he was Masada Kedushin. And he said the Rabbanan, Kinyan, or Mishem Yitkatvu, you know, with the Ktuva, it's an Isa Rabbanan, Gadol Kvod Habriyot, leave it. I think we can be Samach on the Ramah. And here, gentlemen, Reb Menashe Klein shifts gears. And it's a very sad story. It's a story that we feel until this very moment. 1 week ago today, Reb Chaim Drukman, who's a tzaddik hadar, I don't know how many of you know him personally. I know him personally for more than 60 years. I know Reb Chaim Drukman. He was shlich b'nei Akiva to North America. A tzaddik hadar, he and his wife. She's a medical doctor. And they have a flock of children, adopted children. And he's in London. He's a Talmud Chacham. So he was maledicted publicly at the demonstration a week ago. I have to say, some in the so-called Haredi world were not happy with that and criticized those who maledicted him publicly. But you see, in modern times, and this comes back to the entire problem, how do we survive outside the ghetto as Torah Jews? What you sent me, Pressburg or Prague, what I would say more, Rav Hirsch or the Chatam Sofer. We have paid a terrible price for leaving the ghetto. We were not prepared, we were overwhelmed, we were blinded. We pay that price until this very moment. There is almost no family of Gedolei Yisrael that doesn't have descendants who are a disgrace to everything our people stand for. It's part of modern life. I'm not even talking already of the assimilation of American Jewry and the intermarriage and the Poor Report. I'm not even talking about that. Who would ever dream that every Monday and Thursday another rabbi is arrested for sexual crimes? Who could even comprehend this? I get an email from my nephew, his 7th grade Rebbe was just arrested last week. I read about a Rebbe arrested. I didn't realize it's my nephew, 7th grade Rebbe. Who could comprehend this? I don't know. I went to school, I went to Salanter, I went to MTA, I went to Reitz. I had Rebbeim Gedolei Yisrael from 7th grade on. Well, in the Pseudo, we know his son, not only was a mathematician, was from Lo Aleinu, the price we paid.
The law is a little different than what he's talking about.
Price we've paid. I'm talking people who claim he's not from. You take a look today, Rabbanim, I would issue an Issa. No rabbi is allowed to be involved in marriage counseling. I'll give you a whole list, not in class, not in the microphone, of famous Orthodox rabbis who became vagrants, Hollywood people. You're advising a woman, a grusha, and he runs off with the grusha, destroys his marriage. He's a Kohen. How do you come to a grusha? I wasn't a Kohen, but you were paid the 5,000 kids. That's a lot of people. So you see, we struggle. Because of that struggle, some of us think we have an answer, a solution. And if you disagree with me, you're an oisaf, you're a shagetz, you're a bum. Das Teira adds to the problem. People came up with a non-Jewish concept of infallibility, and of course, if this is the Kotel Hadar and he's infallible, how do you dare disagree with him? This is a non-Jewish approach, not only a non-Torah approach to life. I gave many lectures on Das Teira, my best lectures, I say, ever, a few years ago. But that's not the point. Because of this whole environment, this struggle, we have become adamant in our points of view. And when we start arguing, we argue violently, disgracefully. Who would ever dream that people would have the gall to call Reb Moshe at 2:00 in the night to wake him up? With the AID conflict, Satma. This enmity, this hatred. The machloik is here when Bells left the Eder Haredit. You don't know what went on here with Bells and Satma. Who would ever dream the machloik is between Satma and Chabad in the 1970s, the 80s, the 90s. I was in America once on the TV. It had a whole report on some Chabadnikim who were walking Williamsburg and they beat the hell out of them. It's beyond words. Beyond words. And this is the degeneration, the pasquilers, what goes on here. Look at Beit Shemesh. Do we have to go further? Look at Beit Shemesh. One incident in Beit Shemesh changed the entire face of the country. It sped up a process with the Haredizatzi of Medinat Yisrael and all that implies. It spread it up by 7 years to the detriment of the Haredi world. One spit at a little girl and one malediction, the whole country changed the face of Israeli society, created Yesh Atid, created Lapid. This machleket, distasteful, distressful, not teretic. Gentlemen, Rav Menashe Klein, beginning on page 48, says to Rabbi Elberg, and remember, by the 1980s, I believe I gave you the date, I believe this was, 1981, this is not Rav Menashe Klein of the 1952, pleading with Rav Moshe, Hotnish kein Faribel, don't be angry at me, that I'm arguing you. This is Reb Menashe Klein when he already has published endless volumes of Mishnah Halachot where people know of him. And here he says to Rabbi Elberg, let's be honest. This whole machloket is one big smiyot einayim. You know what that means? One big bluff. It's not a machloket lahalacha. It's not a machloket l'shem shemayim. It's not a machloket of kavod hatera. It's klaimish that we now have these new concepts that what we believe is totally right, and we can embarrass mevazeh gedolei haTorah rabbanim rashi yeshiva beredifet noraot yomam v'layla b'shvil kavod haTorah hamadun meh. And boy, has he hit the nail on the head. We have instances in modern times where Rabbanim walked out of meetings because their chair was too far away from the center. Need I elaborate? You look at the Haredi press, everyone has a title in accordance with the way that newspaper judges him. Harav, Harav Hagon, Harav Hagon Hagadol, Maran, Harav Hagon. I can tell you, I was at a Brit Mila, a grandson of a Talmud of mine. I went to give him chizuk, he's divorced, and I wasted my time. I don't have time to waste. But I went to the Brit. And Dafka Mitzad, his son-in-law, his son-in-law's Rebbe is my Talmud of Chaim Milson. So then I saw how they gave out the kibbutim, and I'm watching. Harav Hagon of Chaim Milson was the Sadek. He said, Taka Harav Hagon. And then I take a look, the Machabed, someone with the bracha, they call him Harav Hagon. An American must be a Baal Tshuva, maybe teaches, maybe knows a little bit. I can tell you, he couldn't pronounce the bracha, he couldn't pronounce the Ifra. Harav Hagon. And I have met so-called Rabbanim, Ga'inim, let me not forget it. Baruch Hashem, I can talk and learning with them and walk away with a big smile on my face. And here Rav Menashe Klein, you see him literally in tears. He said, what do you mean attacking me that I disagree with Rav Moshe Feinstein? He says, so many of the contemporary Rabbanim disagree with him. He gives you sources in the Minchat Yitzchak. He gives you sources in the Chelkat Yaakov, that's from Yaakov Reish of Zurich. The Yotzah Poskim. He says, I have a number of issues that I disagree. So what? This is part of the Torah concept. This is part of the Shakla Vitaya. And then he says, Avonir epashut shahu inyan shel politika zola shekamana shim shebishvil politika shelachem rotzim levazot ulachshvil kabara torah kabara rabbanim. And ultimately, ubetocham gam kavod shemoran hagon Reb Moshe Feinstein. But kafan aleichem chakigigit, and you have to understand what this means. It's cheap politics. It's part of our sick world today. Our machloket, our running after kavod. Who would dream that Rabbanim could run? I saw Gedolei Yisrael. I saw the Rav. He opened the door, he answered the telephone. I heard him speak on the telephone. This is Yosef Soloveitchik. No Rav, no nothing. People laughed, I can tell you, it's not for now. I'm Purim, I should tell you the story where he called Rabbi Kavalsky, Sholem Dov Kavalsky, Zichrono Levracha. He had just had an operation, and he says to Shulamit Kavalsky, this was just her first job site, he says to the Rebbetzin, it's called Sunday morning, the final day was, this is Yosef Soloveitchik calling. She laughed, she said, she figured it was Rabbi Albert mimicking the Rav, you know, with the Chveis Purim Teira. She couldn't believe it was the Rav, she didn't want to believe it, Yosef Soloveitchik calling.
And
Joe Solo was the name for the plane, that he made the reservations. And you didn't need a passport, and you didn't need any identity. And he says, ultimately, this attitude, this fighting, this disgrace, this attitude, who are you to open your mouth against Rav Moshe? Ultimately, it makes Reb Moshe look bad as well. And he uses the word here, it's not that Reb Moshe wants this. V'kofa aleihem chakagiget. It's forced upon him, like the way the Torah is paraphrasing the Gemara in Shabbos, how we accepted the Torah. And he says, v'lo b'shotim tate mashma. He says, you can't use sticks to force your opinion. And the word shotim, a play on words, a double intenda. V'lo k'shotim tate mashma. It means you can't use sticks and you can't be fools. And here, on the next to last page, he has one sentence that is very bitter, that in the state of Israel has caused tremendous controversy. When people get up at these rallies and they say, those who want to put us into the army are Nazis. Are you allowed to compare the state of Israel? Nazis? You heard that just now. Wherever that word Nazi is used, people go crazy. All right. Herbie can tell you who the Nazis were. I've done a lot of research. I've stood on the pit in Minsk, where in a few hours they butchered over 10,000, among them my own relatives. And here he says, no, what they're doing to me, mamish, radifat shel hanatsim, rachmana litzlan, for oilechem ulenafshotom hargomim bizayon hatora vulom deha, ugehenim kala, vahein enam kalim. Wow, those are very strong words. Then he summarizes everything I spoke about today, gives you 12 different points why he has the right to argue with Reb Moshe and why it's not a Pechtikat HaKavod. And he ends off the tshuva with a very naive wish. It's like we say every morning in davening that Baruch Hashem Chachamim Mabim, how's the exact quote? Mabim Shalom Bi'olam, right? At the end of, it's quoting the Gemara, it's a Tanit of Elio, it's a Gemara, it's a quote in Chazal many times, Tamid Chachamim Mabim Shalom Bi'olam. And many a great Talmud Chacham has said, unfortunately, in modern times, Chazal had a sense of humor. Talmidei Chachamim Mabim Shalom Bi'olam. And he ends off, he says, the whole concept of Erev is like other concepts of Shabbos, Kibbutz V'Oneg, to bring Shalom by it, to bring Shalom to the Jews, to enable you to live and enjoy Shabbat, enable you to go from house to house, enable you to go to shul, enable you to carry wine, to carry a talit, to carry a sefer, to carry a box of candy, to carry some delicious cake. This is the concept of Erev. Halavai, that this Erev that is supposed to bring shalom should bring shalom among the Jews. And he ends off the tshuva very humbly, that I fall on the floor before Reb Moshe Feinstein. He tramples me with his learning, but nevertheless, I still have a right to differ, and we'll see next time we meet. You see, let us differ and let the Talmidei Chachamim decide. So let me reiterate, before we daven Maariv, first of all, I want to thank everyone for coming. I see Panim Chadashot Kan, it's not a Sheva Brachas, but we are very happy to have you. I don't think so. I don't know, but I don't think so, because that was the Ungara Shevelt. It's the Rav had contact with Reb Moshe, with Reb Aaron, a more distant contact with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, okay? But I don't think so, because by the time Reb Menashe became well known, it's the 70s, the Rav already is, he's old, he's like us already, understand? We're not making new contacts. I'm a young guy. Okay, have it your way. But just understand, we're not conquering the world at 70. At 70, the Rav is struggling to keep going, okay? We knew him in his prime. when he was a battleship. In the 70s, he was only a destroyer, not a battleship. Okay. That's life. That's life. That's the reality of life. When all is said and done, that's why Reb Moshe, you'll see, Reb Menashe Klein mentions it, and I'll give you more sources, that Reb Moshe already in the 80s was surrounded. He couldn't function freely. He was, you know, he dies a few years later. He was not in good health.
How old was he when
he died? Reb Moshe was born, he died in 86. I believe he was born in 95. But you can check it out. That makes sense. He died in 86,
I believe,
in 91. I believe he was born in around the... It can be checked out on the computer in a minute. Okay, so what do we do today? A very interesting cheer. One tshuva, one letter to Reb Simcha Elberg. Put it together with last week's cheer, and you have mamish, I would say, davar v'lo chatzi davar. But next week you'll see already Lakewood. Lakewood is on the scene. And you'll see Reb Menashe Klein dealing with Lakewood. And then we will come to why he felt so strongly. All the little concepts we spoke about, we'll put it all together in context. Why he felt so strongly an Erev could be built. My dear students, tomorrow's shiur is extremely fascinating. I wouldn't miss it for the rain, for the Bechina, or even for a engagement, a collation, which is taking place at this very moment by a student of ours in Bar Ilan. Before we daven Marav, anyone interested, this is Beit Hillel. This is an organization that is, I would say, trying to resemble a more open RCA of today. And a very fascinating topic here on staying in a hotel on Shabbos and all the halachic problems. Also, a fabulous cover picture with Reb Shlomo Riskin in a bekesha with a gartel. Evidently, this is a Havdalah scene. And if you know Reb Shlomo Riskin, he is something else. This is about the Mensch of Malden Mills, about the Fürstein family. This is a gift for Chaim, because he gives me gifts. This document, if I never gave it to you, treasure it. It's the most important document in my possession. It has and has had unbelievable halachic implications. Did you have that? Okay, I just sent it out. Here is a beautiful article on Professor Dov Zlotnik, retired from the seminary, on Tarek Mishpacha and his relationship with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Here is a sad topic. A graduate of Lakewood, I understand he's a graduate of Lakewood, was just sentenced to 22 years in jail. What's fascinating here, they're trying to recover money. Look at the list of all the silver he has, and they put a hold on it to complete forfeiture order. Listen to Julie Judaica and other items to be seized by the government in addition to the, a big four. I can't even read all this money. $215 million? Is that billion dollars? I don't know. I must have it wrong. The government's entitled to seize from Weinstein as they find it. Let me tell you a very sad story. I know one of the people, it's a Ponzi scheme, one of the people he robbed from is someone I know for 70 plus years. He only lost $86 million to him. God, so that goes back to what I said earlier. And here is Reb Yosef Mendelovich, if anyone knows about contemporary Russian Torah history, all about the plane that he tried to hijack and the years he spent in jail. Fabulous material. Until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vedanya, Michael, will you say Bahurachum?